the ein ovrim tnei teva. So it means shliach tzibur. In other words, what it means is that you don't have a chazan there who is going to, you know, service the chazan unless we have what? Unless we have a minyan. Okay. Unless we have a minyan present. Right. As I said, I mean, you know, we have a law that says that, for example, in order to recite Kaddish, Kedusha, and so on and so forth, the din is, you know, that you have to have a minyan for those things. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Baruch Hu, Kriyas HaTorah. But this is the origin of it. This is where you want to use a fancy word. This is the locus. In other words, this is the principal place where we find this, and of course it's quoted again and again and again. All right. And then again, in Osin Ma'amoda Moshav, this is what he wants to explain. In Osin Kapein, this is, of course means the Kahanim, the God, literally do not lift up their hands. This is what it means. But of course, it's what we call Duchenin. And then, Ein Korim Batorim, not allowed to read the Torah Bitzibur, in other words, as part of the public service, unless you have a minyan. Ein Osin Ma'amoda Moshav. Now, what is Ma'amod and Moshav? Ma'amod means stand, Moshav means sitting. Okay. This is what? Lemes. Somebody has died, right? Kishenosin is Hames the Kovro. When they would carry the dead person in order to bury him, then the custom was, Hoyu Yoshvim Zion Piyomim Lifkos is Hames. They would sit down on the ground 7 times. In order to weep for the dead person, and whoever wants to make a hesped, in other words, to give a eulogy at this point, yispot, he would give his eulogy.
They would sit down on the ground.
Yeah. And this we learned, he says in Baba Basra, that what? In Pochsin, Meshiva Ma'amodes, Moshavos. We do not have less than the 7 stops where people stand or sit down, the mace, you know, for a dead person, can go where, and this is what they're going to say. They're going to say, Imdu Yekorim, arise, O you precious people, right? Amot, stand up. Or Shavu Yekorim, Shavu, sit down, O precious people, sit down. And we'll see again when we go to the Gemara. All right.
I remember years ago, 40, 50 years ago, they brought the people to Gur, they carried them out from the street, and every few steps they stopped, put the mess down, and up again 7 times until they
Well, we still practice it, sort of. At the Beit Salem, right, that, you know, from the hearse to the grave, we try to stop 7 times. Yeah.
And put the mess down.
Right.
And pick it up.
Yeah. No, in those days, people would sit down. Right, right. Yeah. People would sit down, people would stand up, and there was somebody, you know, who would get up at each of the stops and deliver a eulogy.
Well, the custom also was that they were walking.
Of course they were walking. Right. Right. Yeah, right.
You accompany the person.
No, absolutely. Right. Right. All right. That one is Birchas Avelim, the blessing that will be given to the mourners. So, before we begin, as we learn the Gemara, we'll find out what he means by that. And what is Tanchumi Avelim, the consolations, the words of consolation that we give to the mourners? He says, Kishachos Minak Voros, right? When they return from the graves, Omdin, they stand, Menachemin is Avel, and they recite words of consolation to the mourner, right? The Ein Shura, and you do not make a line in order to do this, the Chutzah Me'asura, which contains less than 10 people, okay? And this we find in Masechet Sanhedrin. So in the Sanhedrin, the second chapter deals with the Mesim over there and the customs, so we find out about that, okay? Then, the Ein Mizandin Alamozin B'Shev. In other words, when we bench, you know, Birkas HaMazon, if you want to say, you know, Baruch Lekeinu, and so on, the Baruch Lekeinu, Shochal Mishalo, so as he say, you know, the Baruch Lekeinu, right? So we require a minyan for that. Okay. And then the Harkar Kors. What is Harkar Kors? This means literally lands, property, fields, whatever it may be. It says shall hekdesh. Now, first of all, I have to explain what is hekdesh over here.
Hekdesh.
Of course, in Yiddish, the word hekdesh came to mean like a place which is a mess.
Ruin.
Right. Okay, right. But that's not the original meaning of the expression. Hekdesh meant that you dedicate this to the use of the temple.
Oh, wow. What a difference.
Yeah.
Opposite.
This is what hekdesh meant.
That came first.
Right. So this we find, particularly we find it in the last chapter of Sefer Vayikra, where they have a chapter which deals, first of all, with vows, the donations that people make to the Beis HaMikdash, and then, in order to redeem yourself, what you have to pay to the Beis HaMikdash for redemption. So, let's say that a field was dedicated. You know, I hereby dedicate, the verb in Hebrew is makdish, right? So I hereby dedicate my field to the Beis HaMikdash. So, what happens at that point? Okay, so now, whose property is it? It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I want to redeem this field because I want to be able to use it, okay? So, in that particular case, what do I have to do? I have to have assessors from the Beis HaMikdash treasury come, assess the value of the field, and then how they assess it, I have to give a donation based on that evaluation to the Beis HaMikdash. You understand? This is how it worked. Pardon me?
Don't you have to give the value of the field plus a fifth more?
Well, all right, that's a different story. That's correct. I mean, that many cases, I mean, that you have to pay what we say, pinyon, right? And then and the chomesh. What is chomesh? Another 20% that you pay on top. Okay? This is true. Many things. Okay. Now, this is what we're talking about first over here, the hekdesh. So what does he say over there? He says, Harkakois shall hekdesh. In other words, fields that belong to hekdesh, Haboleftoison. If somebody wants to redeem them, Zorech Asoro, then he needs 10 assessors. The Yechod Behen Kohen, and at least one of them has to be a Kohen. Okay. And yes. The 20% is chomesh. Chomesh. Chamishi. Yeah, chomesh. Sorry, I didn't hear. Yeah, well, that would be part of the line with the original one. Right. But in Yiddish, the word hektish came to mean a place which is falling it into pieces or something like that. How did they get the derivation? This is interesting. Derivation in Yiddish. Yes. At least I can guess what it is. Okay. My guess is it's based upon the fact that originally they had the community would set aside a place where Orchim, you know, people passing by in the town or something, need a place where to stay, okay? So they called it a hekdesh because what it was, it was dedicated for this, a charity place, okay? But because the upkeep was never that good, so, right, so this is how it became known, that the Yiddish became a hekdesh, right? Yeah.
I know that in Yiddish, expressions, they often use a good word when they want to use, when they mean a bad one.
No, that happens. Even in the Hebrew, even the Bible, we find.
That's not Yiddish, it's a Gemara too.
Yeah.
You don't
so
say you bad.
She would say, like, gave some guten tag or something like that when she really wanted to be angry with the person.
Right. Right.
That's not
the okay.
Well, I mean, that's the way
that goes.
I thought maybe they used.
All right. Yeah. Okay. And now the last words. Yeah. Okay. Now the last words of the Mishnah is with Odom and a human being, Kayotze Behen. The same thing. Now we have to understand that. Rashi explains it and he says, Odom Kayotze Behen. Okay. In Bol, if there is Beyad Hektish, of the Gemara Beforish Law. Okay. I have to tell you. Okay. A person says, this again, still the same chapter that we have, the last chapter of Sefer Vayikra. It's a very technical chapter, by the way. You have to read it carefully, okay? It starts off where people want to donate money to the Beis HaMikdash, and they say, I want to give my value to the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So, first of all, no, actually it's divided into two categories. Category number one is what the Torah itself assesses based upon whether a person is male or female and what age, because there are different amounts of money that are expected. But a person could also say, not erkioli, which is what this would be, in other words, he says, I want to give my erich, but he could say, domioli, whatever my monetary value is, I am dedicating to the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So what happens? So again, they have to determine how much would that be worth? How much would this person be worth? So the what they say is that they have to consider, if he were a slave being sold on the open market, you understand, how much would he bring in? And that would be what he has to pay to the Hekdash, the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So, again, in estimating it, what does this Mishnah tell us? You have to have 10 people who assess, just as he had 10 assessors, one of which was a Kohen, among the people, you know, who assess the fields. So the same thing is also true as far as a person who says, I want to pay my monetary value.
Why okay. Does one have to be a
Kohen? Because the word Kohen occurs. In order to understand this, we really need a Chumash and take a look at that last chapter in Vayikra, okay? So I'll tell you just to make it. It says, you know, that the Kohen has to come and see and this and that and so on and so forth, okay? And we discover, if we count how many times the word Kohen is found in that chapter, it's found 10 times, okay? So on this basis, we say you have to have 10 assessors. But do they all have to be Kahanim? This already is this. And we'll come to it. Grub the finger, okay. And we'll discover that the Mishnah says only one has to be a Kohen. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yes.
How exactly concretely does that differ? Because in the Chumash you have all these valuations.
Right, that's the first one. That deals, right.
That's
what we call arachim. Yeah.
That depend on age.
Right.
Which would, I would think, be related to physical strength. So if you're a child, it's...
Yeah, well, as I said, it's related according to gender and age. Right. Okay. There are different classifications.
Actually,
yeah.
When you get
yeah.
to the older age, the difference in proportion between men and women
yeah.
contracts.
Yes, correct,
but,
correct.
What I don't understand is how does that... I mean, what is this idea of putting someone on the block? How does that differ? Are they assessing...
This is a different...
It's
a different pledge that the person makes. If he says, erki olai, then it means that I have to give whatever the erich is
right.
based upon what the Torah says.
Right.
Whether it's 50 shkolim, 30 shkolim, 20 shkolim, 10 shkolim, whatever it may be, 5 shkolim, you understand? Because, as I said, the Torah gives a different amount of money for each gender and age. Okay? All right. So that's erkiolai. But if a person says dobiolai or dobiolai, then in that particular case, what he's saying is, whatever my monetary value is, not based upon what the Torah says, understand? But how much would I be evaluated, and I want to give this to the Beis HaMikdash, so how do they determine the evaluation? So this is what they say, then in that particular case.
How do they, what is the difference? Is it based on skills, or is it something that's a good word?
No. It's based upon the strength Is he healthy? You understand?
How's that different from the what is in the Chumash?
The Chumash has a fixed amount for Arachin. Okay? Right. Whereas if a person says Domi Olai or Domai Olai, then in that case he's making a different thing. He says, assess me and I'll pay whatever you assess me is bringing on the open market, right? And this is what they mean by Livdosis Atzmo. In other words, he redeems himself by paying what the assessors insist upon, that this is the evaluation.
So
okay.
Let me see what they say. Men of a similar age, they're differentiating one that may appear to be stronger than the other one. Whereas in the Torah, everybody has to give them the same.
That's correct.
Value here,
right. As I said, it's a different category. It's not the same. Yeah.
So my question is, I didn't understand this question of being put on the block with evaluations. My understanding was that in terms of the slaves, that they were paying out a debt that they owed, not that they were being forced.
Okay, you have two different categories of slaves, okay? Category number one is what you are referring to. A person either stole and could not repay, because the law of the Torah is that you have to repay what you steal, right? He didn't have, he squandered it all, he didn't have any more. So in that particular case, what does he do? He has to work for the person whom he stole from in order to repay the debt. Okay? So he cannot work more than 6 years for him, and in the seventh year he goes free. Okay? That's number one. There is also, in the same line, a different category of person, also an Eved Ivri, a Jew, and he is fallen upon hard times. He can't make a living doing anything, and for some reason or other he doesn't have relatives who want to help him out. Okay? So in that particular case, he could sell himself as a slave. And again, he works for 6 years and so on. Okay? So that's what we call an Eved Ivri. Then we have a different category altogether that we call an Eved Kenani. Literally a Canaanite slave, okay? This is somebody who is non-Jewish to begin with. He has to go through a conversion when he becomes, but he's not a full-fledged Jew. He's an Eved. Oh, you understand? He's a slave. Now, he can be sold or freed, I mean, whatever the case may be, but he can be sold like, you know, property, you understand? So, this is what they say then, that such a person, it has nothing to do, in other words, with the first category that we're talking about. We're talking only about the category of how much would an Eved Kenani, and you know, who is this person, his strength, his ability, his whatever it may be, bring on the market. You understand? And that is what he is assessed. Now, obviously, it doesn't make a slave out of this person who says to be a lie, but this is how they assess what he pays. Since this figure is not fixed in the Torah, as the case of the Arachin that we spoke about before, where if a person says, Erki Olai, then if he is a male in between the ages, let's say 20 and 50, then in that particular case he pays this and this amount of money. If it's a female in this particular category, then she pays this and this amount of money. If it is less than that, and so on. If it's older than that, you understand? And then the Torah gives a whole category of different price ranges, okay? But this is not the same thing as the evaluation that we're talking about over here.
This has nothing to do with what the Torah has to suggest, right? has the right to select. Category A.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course, absolutely.
So if he's selecting the other category,
yeah.
Is it because he wants to give more? Or because he wants
it may be, maybe that he wants to, you know, he feels that he wants to show his love for the Rebbeinu Shalalem and for the Beis HaMikdash by offering more than the fixed amount. Yeah, that's quite possible. Right. I mean, why would a person say it in the first place? Because he wants to make a donation. He feels that he wants to do something on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash, right. Yes. All right. So we've yes. Another question. Sorry.
I assume he can give him whatever he wants if he wants to give him a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this is not a fixed amount, but if this is the circumstance, you know, he says the Leah lies, so then they have to assess how much it would be worth. As I say, I mean, they don't look into his bank account, you understand? They don't ask how much property does he have. But physically, if this person were to go on the block, okay, for sale, right, so how much would he bring? Does he look healthy? Does he have good muscles and
just,
stuff like that?
Just like
so,
a baseball
right,
player.
Right.
Player
right.
That's one of the most.
Okay. All right. So, to continue. All right. So now the general question that the Gemara wants to answer is, and how do we know that we need a minion for all these things? Right? Menoah Hanimile. That's what an abbreviation is. Menoah Hanimile. Where in the Torah do we find some kind of a hint or reference to something to this? So Omar Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba, so Rabbi Chiyah said Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the name Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Omar Krova says, it's not Pasuk. What is the Pasuk? Pasuk says, this happens to be in Parsha Emor, it says, V'nikdashti b'sok b'nei Yisrael. God says, and I will be sanctified in the midst of the children of Israel. Okay? Kol Dovar Shebekedusha, and this is the rule that he infers from this, that anything that has to do with holiness, as for example, Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, Kriyas HaTorah, etc., etc., or all these things that are mentioned in the Mishnah over here, they all require what? They require a minyan. But we're not finished yet, because all that we know is that so far he says the Gospel of Israel, and this is called Ovshe B'Kedusha, the Yepos, so it should not be any less than 10 people. So, the Gemara is, you know, my mashma, but so where does the Pasuk say, however, that you need 10? There's 10 spelled out over there, you understand? So they say, well, we have a different Pasuk, which speaks specifically of 10. T'ni, Rabbi Chiya, right? Rabbi Chiya taught as follows, he says, Asya Toich Toich. Okay? He derives it, whenever you see Asya Toich Toich, then it means he makes a Gezerah Shova, which means he compares one word in a particular area in the Torah with another place where the word again occurs, and the implication is always what? That what is true in situation A is also true in situation B. Okay? That's the Gezerah Shova. And what is the Gezerah Shova here? First of all, it says, Kesiv Hoch, here in the Pasuk that we just cited, what does it say? It says, V'nikdashti b'sof v'nei Yisrael, right? God says, I will be sanctified in the midst of the children of Israel. Uksiv Hosam. And then we find another Pasuk, this happens to be the story of Korach and his rebellion, right? And it says over there, Hibotlu Metoi Choveda. It says, separate yourselves from that congregation. Of course, the congregation there is Korach and his gang, okay? So, what do you see? You see the word toch in there, mitoch. So, in other words, what applies to the word edor in the case of Korach automatically is going to apply to what? To all these things which are Dovah Shep Kedusha. In other words, things that require special sanctification and therefore should have a minion for that, okay? But we still didn't find out yet that the word Edo refers to how many?
Ten.
So how do we derive that? It says, we ask you Edo, Edo. So we have another Gezerah Shova, and this deals with the meaning of the word Edo. Okay? Tichsiv Hosan, we have another Pasuk, and what does the Pasuk say? Ad Mosai Lo Edo Hazois. How long, Rebbeinu Shel Edel wants to know, can I put up with this evil congregation? Okay? Now, who is he referring to over there? This is the story of the spies, if you remember. All right? 12 went, 2 came back and said, let's go on to Eretz Israel, and the other 10 said, no, And the Rebbeinu Shalom, you know, was angry at the report that they gave. So it says, Mala Hala Nasara. So just as we know that there were 10 in the Edo Haro'a, right, in this evil congregation, so Afkan Nasara, so we know that now the word Edo means that you have to have at least 10. Okay? Then, the next thing that the Mishnah mentioned is about the Ma'amad HaMoshav. Right, where it says a noisy mom and a mishnah possible. Excuse me. Of course, the Mishnah mentioned other things too, like Kriyas HaTorah, and so on. Okay, but that we already said that to daven and so on. You know, to have to say kedusha. You know, chazaras hashatz and things like that. They needed it. And so this is self-explanatory. So they don't mention it. But what is this mom on a moshav? In other words, where he asked people to stand and to sit, right, in connection with the, with the dead person. And the Mishnah said that you cannot do it pochos me'asora, right, unless you have, you know, with any less than 10 people. Okay, so why 10? That's the question. So he says, "Kaven the boy the neimar imdu yikorim amodu shvu yikorim shvu," inasmuch as he is required to say at that particular occasion, stand up or arise, O dear ones, arise, right? Sit down, O dear ones, sit down. So, b'tzir me'asura lav orachare. It's not right, he says, to do it in less than 10 people, because if you're saying yikorim to a whole group, fine. So that, but if you do it for just a small amount, it may be already done. It doesn't sound right. Okay, so this is the reason that they give over there. Okay, Lavor Chara says Rashi, La Triach Shliach Lechach L'Rogson Yikorim, to have somebody who serves like a Shliach Tzibur for this particular service, right, and to cry out, dear ones, the Imkain Ma'al Hinachton Merubin, because if you have only 10 and you say dear ones, right, what if you have tremendous crowds, says Rashi, so what are you going to call him? You're going to call him not dear ones. So therefore you have to have at least 10 in order to use it, and obviously this is the expression. Alright, then the next thing that Gemara discusses, right, the Einomim Birkas Avdelim and Birkas Chasadim. Okay, so first of all he wants to know what my Birkas Avdelim, what is this bracha that you give to the mourners? So the answer that he gives, that the Mishnah gives over here, is Birchas Rachva, which means that in the public square people would stop and gather, and then they would say a blessing to the mourners. The Yom Rabbi Yitzchak Yom Rabbi Yochanan is Yom Yitzchak Yom Rabbi Yochanan. He said Birchas Avelim Basora, right? He says that the bracha that is given to the mourners has to be by 10 people at least, right? In other words, by a minyan. The yein avelim in a minyan, and you cannot count the avelim to this minyan. In other words, it has to be 10 in addition to the avelim. Right, yeah. This is what he says. Well, it's only for this purpose, you understand.
Yeah, but when you have a minyan for another one in the house.
Yeah, and then in that case, the avelim are counted. Right, right. This is only immediately after the Levaya.
After Levaya.
Yeah, that's all. Right.
When you,
The yein avelim, right. And then because chasanim ba'asora, right. But in contrast, when you have, let's say, sheva brachas, you know, the blessings for the bride and groom, you also need a minyan for that. But the chasanim in a minyan, however, the groom can be counted to the minyan as well. See, so that's different, right? Okay. Again, let's take a look at
the ceremony, though.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking about the sheva brachas.
Yes, actually, at the ceremony as well. In other words, at the ceremony itself. You know, how do we divide the brachas at the wedding? First thing, we have what we call Birchas Eirusin, which means betrothal, okay? The betrothal, that's it. These are two of them. First, you say Bori Priya Gofen, right? And then the Sayyid Shaykh, what God commanded us concerning what is not permitted in marriage. The Hitler was on the suicide, he only gave permission, you know, to live with those who are married to us through Chuppah Kedushin, and so on. Okay? So that's the Birchas Erusin, right? The Kaddish of Israel, on the Chuppah Kedushin. God sanctifies his people, Israel, through Chuppah and Kedushin. Okay? So, and then after that, you know, what do we do normally? First of all, a chassan has to give something of value to the kala, which, of course, today it's normally it's a ring. In ancient days, there could be other things other than a ring, you'd say, okay. But today, they give a ring. All right? Then, of course, it's customary at this particular point that we read the ksuba, okay? And then after the ksuba, then we proceed to the birchas nisuin. In other words, the marital blessings, which is the same as what calls over here Birchas Chasana, okay? Where we have seven such blessings. So therefore, if there is a wedding that takes place, you understand? While a wedding would be valid as long to make sure that there'll be a minyan. It's very rare that you have less than that. I mean, there are circumstances where sometimes you have less. But you try as much as possible to have a minion present.
So you want to
okay.
Weddings are formed in the rabbi's house, and he's got to make sure the minion is there.
Right, right. Okay. Now, I want to go again back to the Rashi, okay? Where it says, Ein avelim min haminyan. Since the question was raised, why does it say that the mourners are not to be counted in the minion? Now, as I said again, this refers to immediately after the Levaya. So it says, Sha'arehu Omer Baruchel Nachamim Bifnei Atzman, because first of all, he recites one bracha, that is the person who is leading, you know. Let's say, today we would say, let's say the rabbi, the chazan, whoever it is, understand? It could be any layman, however, it doesn't have to be that, you understand? But the person who is leading the whatever the service is at this point, and you know, in order to comfort the mourners. So first he turns to l'menachamim, in other words, to the people who are there in order to console the mourners, if they are spun by themselves. And what does he say? He says, "Achenu, O brothers," he says, "Bal hagemul yishalem lachem gemulchem hatov." He says, may God, who rewards people, you know, for doing acts of kindness, remember the Gemol over here is related to the idea of Gemilas Chasodim, right? An action of kindness. So the Rebbeinu Shalem gives you a reward for it, okay? So may he reward you, right? May the God who is the God of consolation comfort you. The bracha ends, blessed art thou, O Lord, that base Aleph Yud over here means Baruch Ato Hashem. Okay? So everybody see the Rashi over there? Yeah. It says, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mishalim Hagmul. We praise God who rewards those people who perform kindness. So this is a bracha that was recited to whom? To the people who were there in order to give comfort. Then the La'avelim Tei Atzmon, and then to the mourners by themselves, what is the bracha that he gave to them? He said, Achenu, O brothers, he says, Bal Nechomo Sinachim Eschem, may God who sends consolation, may he console you, Baruch Ato Hashem, Menachem Avelim. Okay, blessed art thou, Lord, who comforts the mourners. The Eino Kolalon Yachad, and what can he not do? He cannot recite the two brachas as one bracha. You understand? And that's the reason why it says what? The Ein Avelim Min Haminyan. Because he's saying to them separately a bracha, and as apart from the bracha that he gives to the people who were there. So that's why you have to have at least 10 people over there, right? Because in this case, Ein Avelim Min Haminyan. I had a recent case, it was very interesting. Come across all kinds of things, you know. Uh, naturally we try as much as possible to have a minyan present, so that what? So that, you know, the Avelim can say a kaddish at the Levaya, you know, at the open grave, the closed grave to be more exact. I mean, because first we cover the grave, then we recite kaddish after that, okay? So, problem was that there were only 9 people plus the Avelim. So if we were to apply this business being Avelim in Aminyon to that, so in that case we would be able to say a Kaddish. However, somebody, you know, a learned person, came up with a very ingenious idea. He says, you know, once the Oron, you know, once the coffin has been covered, once the mess is covered, so in that case they are now in the next category. They're no longer now what we call an Onain, but now they've gone into Avelis, but they can be counted to the minion at this point, so they could say Kaddish. Alright, that's an interesting twist, but okay.
The purpose of saying Kaddish, the Avelim can count.
Right, this is the point that he's making. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you sort of
sure.
somehow say they were
yeah, yeah absolutely. Right, if they're willing to come over, by all means, yes. Yeah, yeah.
No, but if
I think she's asking, it's like a Zimun, where if you're somebody standing in the
you room, go over to them and you say, could you please help us out? We need a meeting for Kaddish. And then, if they're nice people, then they'll do it. So. No, because you're assuming that the people who are maybe on the other side of the cemetery can hear it. That's not necessarily a given. Okay.
Also, not an enclosed place.
No, of course not. Of course. I mean, simply from the point of view of acoustics, that makes a difference, right? Ability to hear what's going on. All right. Okay, we'll do a tiny bit more. Okay, we'll try to get down towards the bottom. Yeah, there's a mission at the bottom. Let's cover up to that point and we'll call it a night. Okay? Okay. The aim is on in our Muslim, Hashem, Pars, Biasora, right? Then we cannot, invite people to join in Birkas HaMazon and use God's name where there is less than 10 people. And as the Gemara explains, Kevin, the boy, the Mim, and the boy, the Kainu, inasmuch it says, you know, we have to say then, and let us give praise unto our God, right? So if it's less than 10, then it's not proper. Okay. Alright, and then remember this was the last thing that we had in the Mishnah, namely if you want to redeem property that has been willed to the Beis HaMikdash, right? So in order to redeem it you have to have 10, and one of them has to be a Kohen. So you can have 9 laymen, right? And 1 Kohen. And the same thing is true, as we said before, that if a person says, to me a lie, so in that particular case, he wants to redeem himself, he has to be assessed as well by 10 people. So the question is, how do we know? So Omar Shmuel, so Shmuel said, Asara kahanim kisuvim b'parsha. Okay? And as I said before, if you'll take a look at that chapter, the last chapter, in Sefer Vayikra, Book of Leviticus, so you will find that the word Kohen occurs 10 times in that passage, okay? So, 10 times. So how do we get it? So he says, Chad Legufe, the first one tells us what? That you must have a Kohen. So now we know that at least one Kohen, right? The Idach, I'm skipping the words in parentheses because it's not really part of the original. The Idach, and How about the next one? She says, Heli miyut, acha miyut. Then, the next time that the word Kohen occurs, then we say, oh, that's not in order to enforce the idea of Kohen, but instead it's to subtract something, miyut. What does it subtract? What it means is then that you can have somebody who is not a Kohen. Okay? This is a principle of miyut acha miyut. Miyut acha miyut ela l'rabbis. And we say, and then if you have another one along the same line, another, so then that adds once more, okay? So you have the plus, minus, and so on. Do you get the idea?
No.
You don't get it.
No.
plus, minus, you'd have more than one. You'd end up with five and two.
It's a good question. All right, we'll see, okay. But this is that's one of these principles that they use sometimes in order to try to derive a teaching, okay? Miyat ha-miyat, and we say, ein miyat ha-miyat, tell the rabbis, okay. All right.
What exactly does that mean?
It means, if they repeat the same thing again, then it means the first time around, okay, first we state a law, all right? Law says, chab l'gufe. We have to know that you must have a coin. Good, because it says coin. All right, good. Now, all of a sudden, along comes another coin, right? Is it in order to enforce the idea that you have to have only a coin? I say no, because we have a principle that what? That this is a miyut. The second time around, it's in order to subtract. What is the subtraction? That it doesn't have to be a Kohen, but it could be...
It should be somebody else.
Yeah, a non-Kohen, okay? Then, again, the word Kohen occurs. So, in that case, we say, ein miyut, acha miyut, if you have one miyut, followed by another miyut, that's elo l'rabos. All that it does, then, in that case, is to wed. To add,
really?
Add. So in other words, now what do we have? So now you're adding the coin again. Now you're adding a coin again. So this is a big problem, I mean. But at any rate, we'll come to the conclusion.
Doesn't confuse.
Right. So it's in order, they finally come up, they say, look, every miyut over here, here's how they're interpreting that every miyut is subtracting. So, if you started with 10 and the first one is a Kohen, then the first subtraction, none. Another subtraction, again. Another subtraction, again. And so on and so forth. So then, what do you wind up with? You wind up with, right? So you wind up with Tisha Yisraelim, right? 10. Non-Kohanim, right? The Chad Kohen, one Kohen. Yeah. All right, so it sounds good, right? So now they ask the question that Sylvia asked. The Emor, Hamisha Kohanim, Hamisha Yisraelim. Maybe this principle should mean that you have to have five Kohanim and five non-Kohanim. So they say, Kasha, it's Blyp the Kasha. They didn't solve the question. And then, of course, right, the Yadam Kayosim, because I want to get down to the Mishnah, right? And, you know, if a person says, I want to give my value. So the first question is, Adam Mikodesh? Can a person be holy? Meaning, you know, can he be part of the Beis HaMikdash? So Rabbi Abahu. So Rabbi Abahu said, no, we don't mean that. We mean the Omer de Mialai, right? Person says, I want to give my valuation as a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Tanya, as we have learned, Omer Domi Alai, right? If somebody says, I want to give my evaluation to the Beis HaMikdash, then in that case, Shomino Soke Evan, right? And they have to evaluate him as if he were a slave, right? And as I said, a slave on the open market, right? The Evan is Kashan Karkois. And not only that, but the slave is compared to land. Dichsiv, as it's written, his nachalte moisom nevtech machrem l'reshes achuzah, that the Canaanite slaves, you are permitted to bequeath them to your children after you, that they should inherit it as achuzah. In other words, as a heritage, right? But achuzah usually is used for land. So that therefore what they're saying is that, in other words, if we learn that in the case of land that belongs to Hekdesh, you need 10 assessors, right? And one of them has to be a kohen. So in that particular case, the same would apply to a person then who says, I want to evaluate myself as if I were a slave on the open market and give that amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash. So that also requires 10 assessors, and one of them has to be a kohen. Okay, with this, we shall call it a night.